Thanks for listening to the Roto Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix Podcast. Sponsored by FanDuel.com. FanDuel.com, the leader in single-day fantasy sports contests.
Roto Grinders presents the Daily Fantasy Fix Podcast. Bringing you up-to-the-minute industry news.
Time for me to tell you about the biggest tournament in the history of daily fantasy sports.
Interviews from the biggest names in the industry.
The one and only Kondia. Head Chopper joins us now to talk about this weekend in daily fantasy football. Now on the podcast, Napster Man.
And game analysis to save you time and help you build your bankroll.
Both the salary and the matchup are just too good. If you are not playing him in your head-to-head game, you are just going to lose.
Here is your host, the one and only, Dan Bock.
Hey everybody, what's up? Welcome. It is a Thursday edition here, the Roto Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix Podcast. We are presented to you by our friends over at FanDuel. Make sure you check them out tonight. They've got a couple of World Fantasy Basketball Championship qualifiers. Starting to see some more familiar names at top of these leaderboards to win the trip to Miami to compete for that $300,000 first prize. I think I just saw good friend Dan Gaspar, Mr. Tuttle Q the other day, our own winning 247. So if you want to join them and have an amazing experience down there in Miami, certainly check that out here today. They've got a $12 and a $1,200 buy-in qualifier. So definitely both extremes here, and we're already on number 12. 100 seats will be in this final. Should be a lot of fun. In terms of their other tournaments tonight, $500,000 clutch shot. That's the $4 tournament, the $200,000 NBA slam. And NHL guys, listen up. We've got a, what is it? Looking like a $77,777 super blue line with a $7 buy-in. Lucky seven. So if you're into NHL, one of the bigger GPPs they've probably had this season as well. And keep your eye out for EPL. That is also going and starting up this weekend if you're into the soccer. Obviously, tons of NFL this weekend, which we'll touch up on. Maybe a little bit on tomorrow's podcast with Hoop and Big T. Today on the show, I do want to let you know that we are getting closer. Tomorrow, I'm crossing my fingers, I'm good to announce what's happening at FanDuel next week. Like I said yesterday on the podcast, hint, hint, wink, wink, if you followed along with football and baseball, we're going to be running something similar with basketball. I'm going to leave it at that, but we'll get specs on that hopefully as early as tomorrow because it's supposed to start on Monday. So that should be great stuff for all you people who love the, I don't know, limited entry tournaments on FanDuel. There you go. See, basically spelled it out for you, okay? One thing I do want to talk about today, some good news. PGA Tour Commissioner, if you missed this yesterday, this was awesome stuff. Where Jay Monahan basically talked about, you know, somebody mentioned to him, would you embrace sports betting for your sport? And, you know, he basically came out and talked about that he's open-minded about it and certainly talked about FanDuel and DraftKings and actually acknowledged FanDuel and DraftKings. And it's crystal clear to me, you know, I've said this long before and even like the first time I played it, like golf has a potential to be a very dynamic daily fantasy sport because unlike baseball, basketball, hockey, you don't do it every day. You do it once a week. You build your lineups one day and then it lasts you throughout the weekend. You get great equity on your dollar for your play. And on top of that, it's great for the PGA Tour. Because people now are watching golf. People are paying attention to golf on Thursday and Friday rather than just, you know, the final tournament on Sunday. And it's been very obvious to this point that golf has had a nice impact, or daily fantasy has had a nice impact on golf viewership, especially from a younger audience. I mean, if you looked at the numbers that came out, I think it was about 3-6 months ago, about millennial viewers on the Golf Channel up, you know, 50%. The reason why, there's no other reason why in my eyes except for daily fantasy. Because I can guarantee you that there are so many people out there who've never turned on the Golf Channel, who's never watched Thursday, Friday golf, who are now engaged in it. And I love the fact that the new commissioner in the PGA acknowledges this. And the way you say, well, how did he acknowledge it? Well, he said FanDuel and DraftKings. Like, he knows that DFS golf is something that can help his own league. It's the same reason why NBA and MLB and NHL all invested in daily fantasy sports, because they want to see it succeed, because it adds the interest to people watching their games. And I honestly think it helps golf almost as much as any of those other sports. Who are the people who are buying the golf package to watch Thursday and Friday games streamed online? I mean, seriously, it's people who are either, I guess, betting on it, people who are playing fantasy sports on it, and people who are related to the guys who are playing in the tournament. I can't really think of anybody else out of the 0.2% of super hardcore golf fans who would bother to pay $25 a year, $100 a year, whatever it is, to watch Thursday and Friday early round action. Really? Like, why else would people do that? Well, they do it because they want to have a rooting interest in watching golf. And we have that playing fantasy sports. And I think it's going to explode. I think it's already done it on DraftKings. You know, their millionaire maker tournaments all sell out. I'm a little bit my biggest concern is for the millionaire maker, especially for like Augusta, for the Masters, those smaller fields, are the duplicate lineups that you inevitably are going to have. I almost wish that they would actually maybe raise the buy-in a little bit and limit the number of total entries they have only for the Masters, simply because, again, so many people fall in the same lineups because you basically have just such a limited number of people who are playing in the tournament. And you compound that with the fact that you've got the former winners, which you can throw out, which you're not going to be playing in your lineups. And you run the risk of, 100 people tying for $1 million prize, which I think is a bad look. That's something you always run risk of, but it's so much more prevalent in like a five-man DFS lineup. And that's why, they've got to be very good about the way they price that tournament. Now, the other ones, when you've got enormous fields, it's a little bit less of an issue. Obviously, you're always going to have some overlap. But regardless, I expect DraftKings to continue to scale. I mean, anytime, honestly, if you're, I don't know why they don't make them bigger, because whenever you go to the site on Wednesday morning, example, whether they're playing in the West Coast or they're playing in Hawaii, you don't have the first tee group go off until like noon. Like, all the tournaments, the major tournaments, are completely filled up. So I think they undershoot golf right now way more than they need to, and I hope they can do better in terms of, sizing these tournaments. Not that there's anything wrong with secondary versions of them, but I think, you get a lot of people who wait to the last second, and they want to play in the 200K GPP or the 300K GPP. It's not there. It's full. So sizing game's really important. I also expect we're going to see FanDuel jump into this market really, really soon, and that's just going to drive it even more. So very excited to see the leagues be open-minded. I don't know how they partnership with these sites any more than, certainly there's a lot of avenues they could potentially do it. We haven't seen a lot of DFS advertising within golf. The one time we did see it was at the peak of like daily fantasy spending money anywhere and everywhere. I think it was like US Open, maybe on Fox or one of those other channels that, the flyover presented by DraftKings. But I do think that, there's certainly a market to be had for people playing daily fantasy golf. If I was, trying to grow, that sector, and I'm a company like DraftKings, there's probably the one thing about golf that's kind of unique is that a lot of the people who'd be interested in playing daily fantasy golf fall outside of your typical daily fantasy player. Now, I think people who casually watch golf, like me, who also play daily fantasy sports, are automatically going to convert to players. But you do have those people who just love watching Sunday golf, people who just love golf. I've got an uncle who's in the golf business, and he'd never played fantasy sports before. He'd never played football, never played basketball, never played baseball. But I said, hey, you got to try this DraftKings golf. It's going to change the way you watch golf every week, and he's absolutely enamored with it, loves it. And there's a lot of people who fall into that category who just love golf, who don't play DraftKings. And I think that's actually a market where they could, you know, go after a little bit more than they currently do. Now, the issue is they're not spending money on just about anything. So why is golf going to be the one spot they do? Well, I can't speak to it because I don't know how much advertising costs, but I know it's probably cheaper to be running commercials on the Golf Channel at 9 a.m. than it is, you know, the NFL in Sunday Night Football. Now, seriously, the number of people who are watching are way, way smaller, but you also have that subset of people who might really actually, your conversion rate might be that much better if there was a DraftKings segment on the morning drive on the Golf Channel in the morning. Hey, let's take a look and build a DraftKings lineup or have a daily fantasy segment. Like, that sort of thing would convert people, I think, at a pretty good rate, especially people who don't know about daily fantasy. Because let's face it, even on the NFL now, it's massive. It's a different scale when you talk about Sunday Night Football and the number of people you reach and the conversion you can make. I mean, we saw what happens when you spend a lot of money. You grow like 200% in a single year versus like 4% this past year where there was practically no advertising. But I just do think golf has major, major upside, and it's just, I think, one of the most fun games to get into. With the PGA Tour, you know, getting more involved, it would be cool to see players get more involved. I know in the past they were like really hesitant to have people have anything related with daily fantasy, whether it was on a bag, whether it was, you know, doing anything related with a daily fantasy site. And hopefully that kind of falls by the wayside, because I think there's opportunity to capitalize on both the players, the PGA Tour itself, and DraftKings, because I think there's just a large market of people who still don't know about it. So, and some people thought, like, you know, do you think there'll be a day where DraftKings expands beyond doing, you know, to have games for just the first round, just for the second round, or a redraft after the cut? I can't speak to that for sure. I would be surprised if we see that in the near future. The redraft after the cut seems somewhat possible to pull off, especially if you wanted to make the salaries based on where the standings of the players are at that moment. So therefore, you know, even if, you know, let's say Jordan Spieth is in, you know, just barely made the cut, his salary is going to be really, really low, where we've got Charles Howell III in first place moving into the third round. He's going to be the most expensive guy, you know, in that two-round draft. That's, I think, something we could see. I don't think we'll ever see per round, because I think it's messy, but I could see a second half of a tournament kind of redraft. But that's the way you have to kind of set the salary cap. Or, of course, the snake draft format, something that I talked about for sure, is something you could easily do in that second half as well. But just a couple of, you know, ideas. I just think that there's a lot of different possibilities for daily fantasy golf moving forward. And I'm very, hate to sound like the Ram, but bullish on DFS golf. All right, so there you go. There's my thoughts on that. I want to get into NBA for tonight. Just a small slate, only 5 games. So let's break it down. We'll go game by game here. We'll start with the first one, New Orleans and Brooklyn. A couple of injury notes to keep your eye on here. We've got Anthony Davis as game time decision with a hip. If he plays today, you better have him, because he's really the only high-end guy we have. I guess we got Durant on the slate, too, at 10-3. But Davis, to me, an elite talent and arguably the best matchup you can have, and that's Brooklyn. Especially, I think Brooklyn on the road is the best, because there's a chance that Brooklyn can keep it close on the road. Now, we don't have a line in this game, but this one could easily come in at over 220 today. But if he is in, if he is in the lineup, I think you have to play him. If he's not in the lineup, then you probably have to play who's starting for him, hopefully that being Terrence Jones. The other guy who I think is a plug and play today on FanDuel is Drew Holiday at 6,800. again, Brooklyn just gives it up to the opposing team defensively, and he hasn't been great the last three games, under 30 fantasy points. The minutes have been under 30 in each of the last two games, but if there's ever a spot for him to get going, this is it against Brooklyn in the tempo-up spot. So I do like Drew Holiday a good bit today in this game. On the other side, Spencer Dinwiddie's been the guy who's been getting, you know, significant run here. He's been good, not great. They were in like a 6 games in 9 days situation, Brooklyn was. So, and tomorrow they're in a 3-4. So they're going to be a difficult side to monitor here because, like, I don't hate them, but they're in the middle of this, you know, large number of games in short amount of days, and they've basically been all over the map playing very deep. And like a guy like Brook Lopez, where center is thin tonight, I kind of like, but they're playing again tomorrow. So this could be a situation where they just limit his minutes to like 26 today. I mean, you look at the last front end of a back-to-back they had on the 5th and the 6th, he played 26 minutes in that front end against Indiana. And then 33 on the back end. So there's a possibility, you know, that could certainly play out like that. And if it does, it makes me nervous playing Brook Lopez in cash. But I love his salary at 7K today. Over at shooting guard, you know, Tyreek Evans, 4,900 is his salary. He's been not producing at the level we come to expect, just too expensive. I think he's an easy pass. Kilpatrick's probably a better option for us today. But again, he's part of this Brooklyn rotation that's just been way too deep for me. Bojan Bogdanović had a pretty good game the last few times he's been out, 27, 26, 31. But know that he can really go right back into the teens today. At small forward, he is a punt option for you if you feel like you need to pay up in a few spots. Caris LeVert, I think I've learned his name is LeVert. I heard the announcer call him that the other day, so that's what I'm rolling with. And he's 3,600. Minutes are up, but still not producing enough for me to give him much consideration. Same with Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, just too deep. Now, if Davis is out, like I said, Terrence Jones is a guy that we definitely, I think, could fire up today. And maybe even Monte Yunus. I know that first game, that second game after that nice performance against Boston, people were like, oh yeah, Monte Yunus. And then he played 16 minutes. And guess what? Everything didn't go right in that 16 minutes. I think we just got to wait on him. Maybe a brow injury would get him more into the lineup. But until that happens, I'm probably not going to go there. Trevor Booker upgraded to probable today. He's always kind of sneaky decent. The price isn't great on him at 5,400. Not a great matchup, I think, versus Davis. Very undersized versus that team. Again, I'm pretty much off of Brooklyn outside of Lopez. I will take shots on Lopez in tournaments. I'm on the fence about it in cash. You know, it seems like Drummond's the guy we want to get in there, potentially with extra shots, more rebounds in that Golden State matchup. But Lopez at home is somewhat interesting. I'm not saying he's not cash game playable, but he makes me a little bit nervous at this point in time. The good news is with Brooklyn, though, let's see. Today is the 12th, and their last game was the 10th. So they had a couple of days off, but they do play again tomorrow. So just be careful on that front. Chicago and New York, Jimmy Butler and Nikola Mirotic both going to miss this game today. And instead of Dwayne Wade being out, Dwayne Wade is going to be in. And he's probably going to be a very popular option tonight with more usage kind of funneling his way. At point guard, though, you know, Michael Carter-Williams at 4,800 last game. He kind of got there with 26 fantasy points, 14-7-2. Also, two steals. You'll kind of take that at 4,800. You wish he was, about 300 or 400 cheaper, but on a shortish slate today, he kind of works. Derrick Rose last night, again, drew the start, played 32 minutes, and gave you 33 fantasy points. Not the worst matchup here. MCW is just a pretty terrible defender. We do have a little bit of team revenge here going against Chicago. I like him. I mean, Jennings is like 5,600. That's way too much. Just play Rose at 500 more. I don't hate it. And then Rondo, of course, played that last game and played pretty decent, 29 fantasy points in 27 minutes. With Wade back, I don't know how that's going to cut into anything. definitely keep our eyes and ears out for, you know, his status, what his role is going to be. If they say he's going to be the sixth man again, then I might be willing to give him some consideration at that price point. Jerry and Grant, I think with everyone back, is an easy pass today. Wade should be chalk. Courtney Lee at 4,200. I just don't play Courtney Lee, so no. At small forward today, unless we, you know, Melo sits, and Melo's an interesting one here too, because he is coming on the back end of a back-to-back, not a tremendous situation for him. 26 fantasy points in the last game that took place, 11 fantasy points in the game before that it took place. And let's see if I can't find another one. 14 fantasy points the game before that. So he's been brutal on the back end of a back-to-back. So that's going to make me nervous. But he's, again, priced in that spot where, you know, small forwards today. You've got Kawhi Leonard against LA, which I think I prefer that matchup for 700 more. I think it's a safer play. But then you've got 1,100 down to Harrison Barnes. But I'm probably going to be passing on Melo on most of my teams today. I'm kind of a believer in that for the older players. Dougie McBuckets, he's a guy who's let us down tremendously the last couple of games. You know everyone's going to bail on him. I don't know if we need to. I mean, I think he got into some foul trouble a couple games back. We've seen him, you know, even with Jimmy Butler in the lineup, get to 30 and 27 fantasy points. He's just waiting for the shots to fall. And with no Mirotić today, he's another guy who could get a bit more minutes in this game. So I think he's stars and scrubs if you feel like going that route tonight. Everybody's going to bail on him. You might get him for cheap. I'll be curious to see what people think of Porzingis. His last two games have been dog matchups, or I should say dog performances, 16 and 17 fantasy points. But he's another guy that we know can easily get into the 30s, 40s, even 50s here at 7,900. The price drop hasn't happened because these games have happened consecutively. I'd expect, I'm assuming they don't play tomorrow, so they probably play on Saturday. I'd expect him to have a big downgrade in his salary, especially if he doesn't play well today. I'm all right with him. I mean, it's hard to get him and Davis in. If Davis would sit, then I think Porzingis is a guy to go to, but more of a GPP option for me tonight. And then and then other power forwards, I think Taj Gibson squarely in play today. He's definitely a guy that got double-digit rebounds this past game and played 29 minutes, double-double. That's going to get you to 30 fantasy points on DK. Like, I'm fine with him at 5K today. I think he fits very well in that kind of lowish tier. And then at center, I'm not really looking too much to Robin Lopez. He's going to be revenge. He did play for New York and finally did get 34 minutes last game. 4,100, I don't think so. I mean, Kyle O'Quinn yesterday literally had a double-double in like 5 minutes. It was crazy. Finished with 38 fantasy points. He is the ultimate GPP play because he's got games of 42, 42, 28, 38, and then games of 8, 8, 11, 13, 4, 6. So, don't play Kyle O'Quinn, the medicine woman, the basketball player, whatever. Don't play him. In your cash games. Don't do it. Lakers in San Antonio. Worry in this game is clearly blowout possibility with the Lakers going to San Antonio. And that's a real concern here. Hopefully we get some notice on San Antonio. I wouldn't be surprised to see a guy like maybe Pau Gasol take a seat today and rest. I don't think he's had an off day in a while. Let's see. He hasn't had one since the 23rd of December. So I wouldn't be shocked to see Powell get a night off tonight. And if he does, Dwayne Dedman would be the guy that you'd want to consider. Props whoever played him the other day. I was like, head to head, the guy's got Dwayne Dedman, easy money, and then goes for like 34 fantasy points. So joke's on me. But 3,800 if he would start. Again, this is purely speculation on my part. Give him a look. Aldridge should be back here. He and Kawhi, they're fine, but again, blowout potential. Prices are up a little bit on both of these guys. We've got Aldridge at 7,600, a little bit more reasonable there. But this home game, makes me a little bit leery of going too deep on San Antonio. Keep our eye on D'Angelo Russell. Missed practice or got hurt in practice the other day. Hopefully it's not too bad. If he would sit and Jordan Clarkson would move into the starting lineup, maybe you could look there. At shooting guard, kind of a crapshoot. You got lots of cheap guys out there. Danny Green has been kind of good the last three games, 18, 19, 18. No, I'm not going to go there. Nick Young is probably the one that I would use if there was going to be one that I'd use, but I don't think I'm using anybody at shooting guard in this matchup. Luol Deng is back, 4,500. I don't know why they play him 30 minutes a game when they've got, you know, youngster Ingram who could use some more playing time, but they do. Not the worst punt play on the board today. Ingram has been playing better as of late, 19, 22, and 30, but I'm not going to go there against Kawhi Leonard and San Antonio. Julius Randle, boy, he burned quite a few of us in that last game. Certainly we expected big things from him in that matchup against Portland and did not deliver, only 20 fantasy points, but super consistent before then. At 6,600, I might be willing to go back to that well here tonight. And if David Lee, if somehow Aldridge or somebody would sit, Lee would start. He's obviously a very good option tonight. Dallas and Phoenix, it's an interesting game here. Usually not one that we're overly interested in because Dallas plays so slow. And the total in this one, only at 202 that I'm seeing on our first look, that feels low. Like, I'll have to double check on that one. I would have thought it would have been more like 208, 209, maybe even 210. But 202... and that's really hurts the Phoenix guys here, but some of them are moderately priced. Like Bledsoe at 82, don't think I can do it, even though the matchup versus Darren Williams, pretty advantageous. I don't think so. Devin Booker is the one I'm kind of interested in at 6,100. He's definitely been trending a little bit better up. Let's see, 1, 2, 3. Four of his last six have been over 30 fantasy points. That's what we're looking at 6,100. He's going to take a bunch of shots. And then Wesley Matthews, he's been garbage lately. But again, tempo up on his angle. I wish he was cheaper. Maybe on DraftKings. I don't know what he's sitting at over there. But 53 on FanDuel just feels too much for me to kind of pull the trigger on him. And same with Brandon Knight, who's just all over the map in a lowish total. I'm going to pass. Barnes, though, tempo up for Dallas under 7K. He's pretty consistent with his shots. I get it, and he might make my lineups here today. And then there's a case to be made for some power forwards here, mainly Dirk Nowitzki at 5,500. We don't love Dirk, especially maybe in fast-paced games, but he's 30 minutes or more in each of the last two games, 28 before then, so he's finally starting to get healthy. He can always be a scorer. The good news is for Dallas, they don't play tomorrow. So I don't think they're going to worry too much about, you know, monitoring his minutes for back-to-back sake. So not a bad spot at 5,500 there on FanDuel. Again, went over 30 fantasy points last game. And I think we got to look at Marquess Chris just a little bit here. He's a guy I really liked in the preseason, loved what he kind of brought to the table. And it's all about whether this kid can stay out of foul trouble. And this matchup feels like he could do well if he gets Dirk Nowitzki on him. Like, he has the athleticism that's just going to bury Dirk. He's been at 28 and 31 in two of his last three. Now, the last game against Dallas, 18 minutes and only 10 fantasy points there. So that one didn't go so hot for him, but did grab 8 rebounds in just those 18 minutes. So scoring wasn't there. I don't know if it was foul trouble was the issue that day. But coming off a really well-played game by him against Cleveland at 3,900 as a scrub, I might be buying on him just a little bit. Center spot, Tyson Chandler, a little revenge, right, against Dallas. You know, last time they played, he had 18 rebounds. And are we going through the yearly Tyson Chandler, you know, go rebound crazy moment? Because 15, 18, 20 in the last three games, I swear he does this every year where he goes on these crazy runs where he's just been all over the glass. I don't feel like this is going to be one where he's going to get that many rebounds. Cleveland plays somewhat fast. I guess he had 18 against Dallas last time they played. Even 20 versus Miami against a slower-paced team. So I suppose it's possible here today. 5,200, comparing him to others at that price point here today. Let's see. Like him better than Noah. Yeah, I mean, he fits because Gasol's at 64, Noah's at 48. I get it. He's about as low as I'd like to go. I mean, O'Quinn's at 39, but he is all over the map. I guess I can buy into it just a little bit in the revenge side of things. Keep our eye on Andrew Bogut. He is game-time decision for this game today with a hamstring strain. If he would play, then I'm not going to play him. If he would sit, maybe Dwight Powell gets a little bit more of a bump. Salah Merji, I just don't think is any good. So I don't like playing guys I don't think are good. Last game of the night, Detroit and Golden State. This one checking in with a total of 218.5. Should be big tempo up for, let's see, I would think for the Pistons here. Not really, only though, plus 2.7 on their season average. So the biggest jumps today, by the way, Mavericks and Spurs. But looking at this lineup here, you know, Jackson and Curry going head-to-head. Jackson had been so good, and then I go heavy on him, and he was so bad last game against Sacramento. We'll see. I think he can rebound here again against Curry tonight, which should be an up-and-down game. Really fits his style. As for Curry at 9K, you know, last game happened without Klay Thompson, gave you 48. He's been over 40 in four consecutive games, so he's starting to turn the corner. 9K salary kind of shows it. He's jumped about 1,000 in about a week's time. Not out of play, but tempo down for them. 9K, I don't see me getting there likely today in cash games. Klay Thompson, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, KCP is 500 cheaper. So I think that he's a guy to keep your eye on. Over 40 minutes in each of the last two. Been about 30 fantasy points in four of the last five. So don't underestimate Mr. KCP. Klay, back off of the illness, should be okay. I mean, under 30 in the three games before that. Again, it's hard to predict what's going to happen with these Golden State guys. Probably KCP for cheaper. Devin Booker, maybe. Dwayne Wade, definitely, who I like in that shooting guard spot. At small forward, Durant's fine at 10-3 if you can get there tonight. Marcus Morris at 4-6. GPP play only. You know, he can get you in the mid-30s, but not very often. I'm probably not playing any Marcus Morris. And at the power forward position, John Luehr looks like he's out. Tobias Harris probably going to start in this one. He's a guy to consider here at 6K. Again, super steady. Like, they've got this little graph on DraftKings, or excuse me, on FanDuel, or like last four games. It's like a straight line for him, right over 30 fantasy points. The fact that he played 40 minutes last game against Sacramento is encouraging. Super safe play today. Probably a cash game option for you. I mean, is he safer than Dirk? Probably. Well, now I think about it, probably a little bit safer than Dirk Nowitzki at just 500 more. Let's see. And then at center position, Andre Drummond. I think he's the chalk today at the center position. If he stays out of foul trouble, and I think in this game he should, he should be good to go. He's kind of turned it around here. He had that bad foul game against Charlotte. You throw that one out, 42, 55, 45, 51 in those next four games. Going to see a lot of shots here from both sides in this quicker tempo game. Should be more rebounds. I feel like he's a double-double lock and load tonight and not overpriced at 8,200. So safe cash game play for you today. All right, that's your look at NBA tonight. And before I get out of here, we're saying thank you to Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Just a great supporter here of the Fix podcast. So check them out when it comes to making those big decisions. Like choosing a mortgage lender, it's important that you work with someone who you can trust, has your best interest in mind. And with Rocket Mortgage, you're going to get that transparent online process that gives you the confidence to make an informed decision. Don't waste time searching through stacks of paperwork. With Rocket Mortgage, you can securely share that financial info to get the mortgage approval in minutes. You can even adjust your rate and length of loan in real time to make you get the mortgage solution that's right for you. Whether you're looking to buy a home, refinance an existing mortgage, you can lift the burden of getting a home loan with Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. So skip the bank, skip the waiting, go completely online at quickenloans.com/roto. It's equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states, NMLSconsumerAccess.org, number 3030. I'm out of here. Thanks so much for listening. You can catch me again on SiriusXM Fantasy Sports Radio tonight from 6 to 7. We got Grinders Live as well, fired up for you this afternoon. Thanks to all of our wonderful sponsors that we have on this very show. Thank you for listening. We'll chat again tomorrow right here on the Roto Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix. See ya, everybody.